Yeah, I'd mentioned in the works for many years now, you know, top priorities for more forced to school that they walk. We want them approach, which is just kind of a radical
for our listeners.
The goal is, transition system is to get people, you know, as opposed to the number one goal being how many a specific transitionally made, how many cars can we move? Instead, one to where they, how we do. We've been for Division Zero that. You know, while we were came of saying we can make things better if we make it safe enough for kids to walk and biking on who wants to bike, you know, approach to biking, that's gonna everyone. And, you know, vision, we need street bike advocates in a broader way, for coalition from a pedestrian, and we are fighting eating for more transit service. And so for you, how do we make, you know, people approach.
And the trust point, they have lots of money and they're moving, focus game.
You know, I think, but our folks are in, you know, like you think about, you know, other preserving sources, we're really looking at it as, you know, important resources.
Yeah.
That it is the people who need dedicated thing that serves the people.
So already maybe associate, it's like, will still be included, it's women bike, the bike associated, or stay the same?
Big changes, and some of them were inclusive, you know, of a pedestrian school program, more challenge, you know, plan more challenge. We don't something different because the power still we love bike. That promise has been we're not gonna focus on biking. Yes, you know, for the way as a
so do more with, or are you, will the actual organization change because of this? Because if you've, it seems like you're taking on a lot more with adding transit and pedestrian. So will you be increasing staff?
You know, I think like any good nonprofit, we have big ambitions to, you know, do the most good possible, you know, and have the capacity to serve people, you know, in the best of ways. We would love to grow to, you know, continue to play a more meaningful advocacy role in different ways. At the same time, as I say, you know, the Bike More Challenge is going to stay what it is. You know, it's really fun to talk about what would a transit, you know, program look that was like a great transit encouragement program.
A Transit More Challenge.
You know, we would love to explore that. But it's going to be, you know, we're not going to shift resources away from kind of the current body of work. We're just going to approach, you know, our advocacy work holistically. So it's not necessarily doing more. It's just a little shift in the... And, you know, how we're approaching the conversation, but we're not necessarily, you know, having a different set, you know, of conversations when we talk about that shift. But we Rita and to do both fighting, but our region
walk
innovating leaders.
Retest is how are through these what you're not
those value boxes actually. That's you know, I think we see all of them and not as compare for, you know, look at Opal. They have organization, their girls and expertise role to lend to them, and a, you know, base station, you know, which are by choice rider, they was to the table see before finder.
For those latest updates with their Stephanie Noel
options, metal trend to use to school.
Yeah. Move things to fix some of the things that have come on, you know, policy. Multimodal to say it, you know, kind of more biking, walking, and transit.
Multimodal be cool,
you know. But there's across the country the name or transportation alternative run options. Folks, it's not, you know. Also, you know, the walk to the park sometimes, and, you know,
a just transit user, yeah,
a choice in that moment. So
some grumblings in the Portland bike. What you have been to the pointers of the street. Do you specifically and keep your current members better?
I think we have tell the story of the work that we've been doing in recent years.
You're doing an excellent job
now. Thank you. It's fun. It's fun to be in the KBU studio. So I'm having a good time, and there couldn't be a more exciting time, in my opinion, to be at the Street Trust with the legislative session we're in and everything else. So I truly am excited about this work and love talking about it. But the truth is, like, transportation, you know, funding and policy, it is a long game. It is totally a long game thing. You know, we you know, the regional, you know, funding that we're talking about, like, we just had this huge win for Safe Routes to School, and you won't see the outcomes of any of it until 2019.
And how long before this did it take to get to the point where you got that funding?
You know, it was a more than a year long campaign.
So 3 years until you're actually seeing an actionable thing from that.
Yeah,
money.
And it's so fun talking about the history of transport, you know, transportation in the region. You know, it's so funny. You know, the Orange Line, you know, Max Line still feels pretty new, right? Like mm-hmm. It didn't happen so long ago. And, you know, I keep having people come up to me, you know, lately in terms of being like, you know, wow, the Bicycle Transportation Alliance played a really, you know, valuable role in determining where some of those stops were located and making sure there was, you know, good bike ped connections. Like Michelle Poirot played a valuable role. You know, she hasn't been with the organization in, you know, something like 8 or 9 years, you know, and it's like, but finally her efforts while she was with the organization, we're seeing them realized.
As people are using the system.
As people are using the system now, but it's, you know, there often is that 10-year kind of time when there's been at, you know, which is the joint that Ben 6 transportation on bike and pedestrian, but, you know, funds. You know, it's those in 2000 projects now. There's some that's on this fund pedestrian projects for our priorities that would have otherwise gotten spent on other transportation stuff, you know, whether it's, you know, highways or, you know, but, you know, spent for things other than active transportation. We won those funds for active transportation priorities. And this is what that means. These are the projects that you're starting to see, you know, come online with that funding. So it's hard, you know, and transportation funding comes from so many different places. You know, and we in a mix, even one, you know, Michael Hart, something we need to get
helping to put on the summit. Can you tell her a little bit more?
Active transportation, great. It's essentially where there's, you know, policymakers, public health folks who are looking at community development from an economic development and tourism perspective, and advocates all come together to address the challenges that we see together. And some of it is the big picture. You know, we'll have a morning keynote from Jarrett Walker talking about what, you know, how you build connected transit networks in a community and, you know, what that broad picture strategy looks like. And then we'll have totally, you know, engineer wonky folks that in an adult issue. Well, we'll name right now from the future note, followed by a panel of folks who are really, we've been big and bold, like it's all right, enhancement.
Pretty
we've, you know, like and the conference, trust what you rotation look under at the link. Early bird. Ooh. A following day two to the more of a rec bike junction with, and they're going to be the germ that has done all kinds of Germany keynoting that day, as well as Evergreen Mountain Bike Association in Washington will be there in the morning to lead.
If you're in a gravel race or an event,
make 2 days during the.
You are listening to JBOO.FM and please stay with us for the work, the Transportation for Oregon's Future 17. Welcome back to the KBOO Bike Show on 90.7 FM. We're here today with our guest, Stephanie Knoll, the interim director of the Street Trust, and I'd like to welcome our second guest, Chris Hagerbaumer, deputy director of programs at the Oregon Environmental Council, which inspires to advance innovative, collaborative, and equitable solutions to Oregon's environmental challenges for today and for future generations, which of course makes them a perfect fit to partner with the Street Trust in the Transportation for Oregon's Future Coalition. Transportation for Oregon's Future is a network of concerned organizations, businesses, and citizen leaders who are supporting transportation choices for the 21st century. They hope to look ahead beyond the current transportation status quo and envision a transportation system that's equitable, affordable, and better for the environment. Chris Hagerbaumer, welcome to the KBOO Bike Show.
Good morning and almost afternoon. Thanks for having me.
You are so welcome. So Transportation for Oregon's Future is a coalition of partners working to secure diverse transportation options for our state. Can you tell me a little bit more about the vision of the coalition and who your other partners are?
Sure. So we first formed actually before the 2009 legislative session to just make sure that the state is investing in transportation options that are, as Steph said earlier, it's not just about moving cars as fast as possible. What we really need is to move people to the destinations that they need to go to in a safe, reliable, and environmentally friendly way.
That's also hopefully somewhat fast.
Yes, it would be nice to be able to get to where you need to go quickly
as well.
In
a timely manner, yes.
So we focus on state-level policy, and that means primarily what is the legislature doing, and how can we make sure that we reach these goals?
That's great. So who are some of the other partners?
Sure. So when we put together our steering committee, we wanted to make sure that we represented social justice, that we represented transportation options, and that we represented making sure that we're taking care of our environment, reducing greenhouse gas emissions, reducing air pollution. So our core is made up of 1,000 Friends of Oregon, Better Eugene Springfield Transit, Oregon League of Conservation Voters, Opal Environmental Justice, Oregon Environmental Council, which I'm from, the Street Trust, and Transportation for America. And we have a number of members that are as diverse as the Environmental Center in Bend, Bike Walk Roseburg, APANO, which is the Asian Pacific American Network of Oregon, the Native American Youth Alliance of Oregon, and also, I mean, more, including Drive Oregon, which works on electrifying our transportation system, and many others.
That's great. Well, it's been a very, very long time. You can probably speak to how many years it's been since we've passed a transportation funding bill for the state of Oregon. So what funds, if we don't have a bill, what funds is the state actually running on right now, and why has it taken so long to get another bill passed?
Sure. So 2009 is the last time that the legislators really had, well, they're kind of loath to raise taxes, right? And so a transportation funding package means that you need to raise the gas tax. And the last time they had the gumption to do that was 2009. They've been talking about doing this for a couple of years. We think that 2017 is the session to do so. We obviously still pay gas taxes and registration fees and so on that goes into what's called the Highway Trust Fund here in Oregon. But we're falling behind on road maintenance in particular, and we hope legislators will step up. Now, we have a problem in Oregon, which is that Highway Trust Fund can be spent only on the roads. So as we have much broader goals, we have the goal of funding transit in this state, the operating of a transit systems all over the state. We want to fund that safe routes to school that we talked about earlier this hour to be statewide, not just in the metro area. There is some stuff happening elsewhere in the state, but we need a lot more money for that. We need a lot more money for bike and pedestrian needs all around the state. And if we're going to meet our greenhouse gas emission goals in the state, if we're going to actually protect our climate, we need to take those vehicles like cars and get them to be electrified as fast as possible. So there's a lot of needs, and unfortunately those needs cannot be funded out of that Highway Trust Fund.
Because of the way that the gas money...
It's constitutionally restricted to roads.
To roads, okay. Which our roads do need work, but...
But we need all those other things. We need options for everybody, affordable options for everyone.
So what's different about this year that you think that you're so optimistic that this is the year they're actually, because I know 2015, I believe, they got really, really close to passing a bill, but then they didn't. So is it who's in politics? Is it because we need it so badly? What's different?
I would suggest that they didn't really do as much legwork as they should have in advance of 2015. Way back in 2009, then Governor Kulongoski, vision panel, he said just that it's a transportation vision panel, if you just type that in. And so she learned a lot through that process and the people who participated in that. And then the legislature put together a joint committee, the Joint Transportation Committee on Preservation. There also have been some
bikes. I think Portland's priorities. How does this fit in a more priorities or areas?
State and this is about the B. If your says that their goods to about how do my kids get safely to school? And towns can be some of them good sidewalks and you'll see.
And there's not a major they have to cross.
From the west of the Mississippi, many that could more
operating on there and be able to use it.
Our towards transit states, we are sent towards the country, it's about 24%. Well, transit service, if they keep
of
it.
Course, increases in Oregon, I know, in the expressway, in all those places, transit area, and reliable.
I think that's also one of those examples of seeing
interest of serving local folks, you know, with transit needs, as also being in concert with some of our more, especially more rural communities who are trying to transition from being kind of a resource extraction economy to recreational and tourism economy. And then things like transit service, things that can connect, you know, not just residents, but also visitors to the region, you know, to those recreative economic developments for, you know, inspiring or kind of that make people want to actually stop and spend the night in a rural community because there's, you know, a lovely promenade and there's a awesome, you know, Rails to Trails project, you know, that can connect you from Joseph to Enterprise, Oregon, you know. So seeing, you know, some of these biking and walking, you know, projects that we talk a lot about in the urban context are also huge sources of vision and excitement in rural communities as well.
So in the literature for Oregon's, I'm going to say it,
Transportation for Oregon's Future.
Thank you. Transportation for Oregon's Future. It says that Oregon's next transportation package must include $161 million annually to solutions that address pressing urban and rural transportation needs. So where does that 161, why not 160? Where's $161 million? Where does that number come from and what do you think it can cover?
Well, our biggest ask is related to the transit operations, and that is $110 million. And that's roughly what the governor, well, that vision panel that I mentioned says is a good starting point. And then added to that is the Safe Routes to School, covering that, expanding that across the state. And then there's also a bill, I think it's House Bill 2407, that relates to how it relates to the electric vehicles, both the electric cars and transit buses, and getting there's a stumbling block in that once you own an electric vehicle, it's much cheaper to operate over time and it saves you money over time. But there's that stumbling block of the initial price. And so it would help rebate drivers and then help transit districts be able to purchase a plane. Adding those
to exciting.
So this 100 of eternity, or
so that is even called Connect, a program that can't be funded by that highway trust fund, rail system, or other sort of off-road needs for freight. Well, this coalition, Transportation for Oregon's Future, worked together. Primarily, BTS led this in 20 pedestrian projects to be eligible for those dollars. And that actually does have to be re-upped every legislative session, and there's varying amounts. It's true that if a way to pay for transannual basis, that is the very best thing. And if you take one, it raises about 1 cent of the gas tax. That's 1 cent of the pedestrian need that can, that could also be, what's the opposite?
Biennial in this case.
Cool. Accomplish is to kind of what specifically planned, should it be more, because it serves that stuff. Noel, do you
want? Well, I'd say, you know, after a year, and it is more important to be talking to their leaders at all about their priorities. ODOT as kind of a highway station, and a lot of nooks and crannies within, you know, it is still going to take external, you know, to really move us. You move to get people to where they need a paradigm shift. ODOT just went through an audit at how the state acts on that audit. Or there,
But we'd like to put aside to build one thing on the roadway system. Are you not all or bring more roadway up just, but also just getting back to the public. How are things operating well? Is it really? Are the solutions actually fitting the problems correctly? And there's a great, actually, Virginia, something called Smart Scale. And I really love their tagline, which is dollars in the right whole transport. You can actually
plain English.
It does. And this is how much return on investment job at that.
There's just a bill that where that's how zero bill to task force approach kind of. You know, this individual, you know, one reality is system mean that when that can do that, it's changing, you know, retest some of those
crazy
things, purview. Some of them are in the, you know, the department. Some of these things, some of the is a key strategy. Absolutely. Also can't do it without ODOT. But so that's moving through the ledge.
Well, another aspect of repairing exist. I'm surprised it's not, and especially Portland, that learn so soon and making investments in infrastructure that maximize specific example. How taking all this into account can improve aspects of our daily lives that aren't always accounted for in transportation.
So I mentioned earlier that in 2009 a package was passed, and that package required the state to develop something called a least cost planning model, which is really a wonky term. Let's say that more of that. We've got a lot more concept to meet those needs. You can actually miss them. And in doing that, the state actually developed what's called least cost, environmental stewardship, use and growth management, livability, vitality, social cost. So this, you play around with it and you care the most about. Lost track of your
about how you guys are working on can specific. How it can start accounting for aspects of transportation like health.
And so that's what I'm getting at, is you actually have to be considering those things projects together. You've got this problem you're trying to solve, and then you look at all of the spit out of goals that include structure. We is not excited X in this trend. Well, I've got to do this. Why it's not looking at things in a holistic way in the state?
On a meta level instead of a micro level.
I'd say the tools that Chris are talking about are valuable tools in terms of how transportation decisions get made and can really shift how things are happening. But when we're talking about what does this mean? It's what this means is if you look at a specific neighborhood and the kids in that neighborhood have higher rates of asthma than in other neighborhoods because of the air quality is an issue in that neighborhood. And it might not just be transportation, you know, emissions, air quality. They might be located in an industrial district, but still we can, you know, make maybe a 40% reduction in, you know, emission, you know, in air and the particulates, you know, in the air by making different transportation choices and decisions. But so it's, you know, it's kind of, you know, so how do we address that kid's asthma? You know, I'm a parent of two kindergartners. Any other parent, I'm sure, can relate to what it's like to hang out with kids that haven't had any physical activity versus kids that did, you know. So it's like, okay, you know, how can we make our kids, how can we help our kids get to school in a way in which they're ready to learn? You know, a big part in the answer to that is if they can walk or bike to school, they're going to show up, you know, like they will have gotten the ants out of their pants, right? You know, it's just like,
pretty much.
And just, you know, like plain speak, it's like, man, you know, if I need my kid to focus on something, like they sure as heck have better had a chance to move their body that day. You know, we're talking about that, you know, or also like absenteeism is a huge issue for schools. You know, if youth don't have reliable transit access, you know, or places to walk and bike to school, then
they're not going to get to school.
If they have, you know, one parent who's working two jobs to make, you know, life work, like they don't have a personal chauffeur, you know? So it's like all of these, you know, in terms of what does this mean for our transportation system? I mean, that's what it means. It's like, it's getting that family, you know?
Well, we've just got a couple minutes left of the show. So I know right now Americans are more fired up than ever to get involved in more of our political and kind of wonkier side of our government to help it work for us. For our listeners who are interested in maybe getting involved with or future transportation for Oregon's future, where would you recommend they go for more opportunities?
So you can find our general goals for the session on Oregon Environmental Council's website. Just look up Transportation for Oregon's Future. You should absolutely, all of the organizations that are members banding together, consider becoming a member and learning directly. And we have got to make sure that these alternatives are funded in this package, or we will not get those benefits that Steph just outlined.
And I believe there's more information coming out on all of these coalition future priorities in an article on bikeportland.org today as well. So great. That's another place to look for more info.
We will look out for that. Thank you to Stephanie Knoll, Interim Executive Director of the Street Trust, and Chris Hagerbauer, Deputy Director of Programs at the Oregon Environmental Council, for joining us on the show today. You have been listening to the KBOO Bike Show, broadcast from Portland, Oregon, on the first Wednesday of every month. Podcasts are on iTunes, and all past episodes are generously archived at thebikeshow.portlandtransport.com. The Bike Show is also produced by Alon Robb and Meg Keyes. We'd like to thank our in-studio engineer, our web host Chris Smith, and today's guests, as well as our editor Josh Hetrick. We'll be back next month with more news and views from the bike world. Until then, make it a great day and keep riding your bike.